السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. Tonight the 25th juz of the Quran was recited. Started with the conclusion of Surah Hamim al-Sajda. And towards the end of this surah, Allah Ta'ala mentions, سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقِّ. That we will show them our signs in the horizons, or in the universe, according to some of the Fassirin. In other words, in the universe around them, as far as the eye can see. وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ and within themselves. حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقِّ until it becomes clear to them that He is the truth, that He is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, Allah ta'ala has what we call ayatul kawniyah and ayatul matluwa. The ayat matluwa are the verses of the Quran. The ayatul kawniyah are Allah Ta'ala's signs in the universe around us and within ourselves as well. So everything in creation actually points towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An ayah is a sign, something that shows you or points you in a certain direction or points you towards a certain understanding. So everything in creation actually is indicative of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not only that, but Allah ta'ala's qudra and Allah ta'ala's various attributes. Now, we'll find that we're living in an age where there is this group that promotes this idea of the non-existence of Allah, or they deny the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Call themselves atheists. Sometimes they use the term agnostics because they say they want proof. They won't believe until there's proof. But everything that exists around us is the proof. That is the reality. In fact, even in the past, Allah ta'ala mentions that if you ask the mushrikeen who created the heavens and the earth, they will say Allah. You ask them about all these natural phenomena around us, they will claim that Allah Ta'ala is the one that created it and controls it. So even the mushrikeen, they had some belief, there was this acknowledgement that Allah Ta'ala was behind all of this. And if you look at the entire universe, you take the world that we live in and the way it functions and operates, we take our cycle of the year, the months, the days, etc. It works with such precision that it is impossible that this can just be some random occurrence. Everything works perfectly, the alternation of the night and day. If you look at our year, the 12 months, the year, every year is the same as the year before. We don't have a change. And for as long as man knows, this is how it's been. So that's all of this. Then if you look at the things around us, and then Allah Ta'ala says, وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ. If you look within ourselves also, that if you look at the creation, whether it's the various animals, the plants, the trees, everything, the way they work, the way they function. If you look at the human body, for example, you look at the way everything works. Just take one organ, for example. Allah Ta'ala speaks about the faculties that He has given us. Sight, hearing, etc. You take all these different faculties and you look at how they function. Just the eye, for example, on its own. Human beings have created optical devices. They have, you know, cameras and all kinds of optical devices. But you'll find that the most sophisticated and best optical device that has been created by man is very crude when you compare it to the eye. If you look at the reality of the eye and how it works and functions, and all the various parts of it that work together to give you vision that no optical device can give you. Then you will realize, and then to still claim that all of this is just some random occurrence, it just happened. Now that is absolutely absurd. But today, people who are regarded as the greatest intellects believe this. And these people are in positions of leadership in intellectual circles throughout the world. They are the ones that dictate as to what is taught at universities. And this is the philosophy that they push. So, as we mentioned before, it's very, very important for Muslims to be connected to the Quran and understand the world around them through the narrative of the Quran rather than what others tell us. Because they can talk all kinds of nonsense and promote it as intellectual discourse. So a Muslim just needs to understand who he is, who his creator is, what the purpose he has been created for. That is why these people, and this one may think that, okay, this is just some, you know, philosophy that is developed, but in reality there is a very, very concerted effort to promote this. And if you dig deep enough, you will realize that there is a satanic agenda behind all of this. And this is towards the coming of Dajjal. But we don't have time to go into all those details now. But anyway, Allah Ta'ala, you find that throughout the Quran, this theme has come. Where Allah Ta'ala directs us towards what we know as the Ayatul Kawniyah, the signs of Allah Ta'ala in His universe that all indicate towards the presence of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and not only His presence but His Qudra and all His other attributes, His ilm and the perfection of these attributes as well. So a person who's on the fitra, whose natural disposition has not been disturbed, even if he didn't receive revelation, this is the view of Imam Abu Hanifa, even if he didn't receive revelation, even if he didn't hear of a Nabi who told him about Allah Ta'ala, he would automatically know that there is a Rabb who has created him and created everything around him. This is what the fitra demands, the natural disposition and understanding that Allah Ta'ala has placed in every human being. He will take lesson from what he sees around him. So Allah Ta'ala gives us this, and this is mentioned over and over and over again in the Quran. So, and it's impossible to deny. This is the beauty of this argument, that no one can deny it. In the next Surah Shura, Allah Ta'ala mentions, وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُّصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ, that whatever afflicts you of any calamity, any bad, negative condition, it is because of what your hands have earned. In other words, the conditions around us that are negative, that are bad, they are always because of the actions of man. وَيَعْفُ عَنْ كَثِيرٍ, and Allah Ta'ala says, Allah overlooks and pardons much more. In other words, whatever we are experiencing, every bad condition that we experience is just a small taste of what we have done. In reality, if Allah Ta'ala had to take us to task for all the sins that we commit, we will be destroyed. This entire world would have been destroyed long time ago. But this is the hilm of Allah Ta'ala. He just sends a little bit of azab, a little bit of a reminder to us, so that we may be alerted to our errors, our mistakes, our ghaflat, and then we must come back to Allah, come back to His obedience. Then at the end of the surah, Allah Ta'ala mentions, وَكَذَلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ رُوحًا مِّنْ أَمْرِنَا, and we have revealed to you or inspired to you a ruh from our command. Now here this reference, the ruh is referring to the Quran. So Allah Ta'ala is referred to as ruh. Now why is it referred to as the ruh? So the ulama have explained that every human being has a soul within him. In fact, not only human beings, but this is found in animals as well. And this is the life force behind them. So Allah Ta'ala refers to the Quran as Ruh. In another verse, Allah Ta'ala says that يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَجِيبُوا لِلَّهِ وَلِلْرَسُولِ إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ. That respond to Allah and His Rasul when they invite you to that which gives you life. Now we know that when the Ruh leaves the body, there is no life. Whether it's for a human being, whether it's for an animal, whatever it is, there is no life. Nothing can function anymore. So when Allah Ta'ala speaks about the Ruh here, is referring to the Ruh of the soul. Just like the physical body has a Ruh, which allows it to function, it has life and it can do various actions, etc., and the faculties work. So the soul also has a Ruh. The soul has a Ruh as well. And the Ruh of the soul is the Quran and the Dhikr of Allah. When you take that out of the soul dies. That's why you find repeatedly in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala refers to the kuffar as amwat, as being dead. Amwatun ghayru ahya. Or in a hadith, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also mentions, مَثَلُ الَّذِي يَذْكُرُ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِي لَمْ لَا يَذْكُرُهُ كَمَثَلِ الْحَيِّ وَالْمَيِّتِ. The example of a person who remembers Allah and the one who doesn't is like the example of a living and a dead person. So the Quran actually gives life to the soul. When we listen to the Quran, when we bring iman in it, when we read it, it invigorates our ruh, our soul. And this soul, as it gets the life force within it grows and it gets stronger, you will find that it also has a corresponding effect on the body as well. So, just like when a person becomes physically ill, you'll find that that life force in him starts to wane away. It gets weaker and weaker, so that he can't do what he normally does. He doesn't have the energy, he doesn't have the strength. And eventually when he dies, then everything ends. Similarly, spiritually, this is what happens to us as well. That when we, like just like when you, the physical body, when you keep filling it with toxins, it gets weaker and weaker. The soul also, when you keep filling it with toxins, when you keep committing sins, and you, this takes an effect on the soul. It becomes weaker and weaker. So as it gets weaker, you'll find that the ability to do good decreases. A person knows he has to read Salat, but he just doesn't have the spiritual strength to read Salat. Or he knows he has to stay away from certain sins, but he can't resist. When a person's physical body becomes weak, his immunity drops, then he's got no resistance. Similarly, when a person becomes spiritually weak, he doesn't have that resistance. He can't resist the whisperings of Shaitan. He can't resist the desires of the nafs. There's no strength, physical, spiritual strength within him. So this is what Allah Ta'ala is speaking about, this Ruh, this Qur'an. So this Qur'an gives us that strength. When we recite that Qur'an, it has that effect on our soul. When we make the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala, it has that effect on our soul. It nourishes the soul and the life force within it increases. The desire to do good, the tawfiq and the ability to do good increases within that soul. So this is something very important. So we need to understand the effect of the Qur'an. That things happen on different levels. And it reaches a point also where this can even begin to affect our physical faculties as well. So as the Ruh gets stronger and stronger, you will find even your physical faculties begin become enhanced and the effect and the effectiveness of these faculties increase. That is why you'll find that Sahaba, when they used to be in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they used to draw from the nur of the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they could hear what others couldn't hear. They would hear the tasbih of those inanimate things. They could see what others could not see. They would see the nur of the malaika. They would actually see this. Why? Because of the effect of the soul. The soul became so strong that it then permeated into their physical faculties. So this is a reality. We don't have time to go into all the details now. In fact, our time's up already. There was a few other ayats I was going to discuss. But I think we'll have to leave it there for today. Inshallah. But yeah, this is the Quran. You know, you can dive into the secrets and the realities of the Quran, and there's no end to it. Allah give us understanding and tawfiq. SubhanAllah, bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma, bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.